It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're talking with Ambassador John Bolton about threats to the U.S. He sums it up as China and Russia. He was National Security Advisor to the Trump administration from 2018 to 2019. And his memoir earlier this year called the president erratic and, quote, stunningly uninformed, pursuing policy driven by a desire for re-election. Your questions for Ambassador Bolton, 800-642-1234. Tomorrow night, Bolton will headline an online event at the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. Ambassador Bolton, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me. Glad to be with you.
Well, starting with the coronavirus pandemic, considering the coronavirus originated in China and a trade deal was in the works with Beijing, did our relationship with China deter the president from putting aggressive measures in place to stop the spread of the virus when he knew it was airborne and deadlier than the flu?
Yeah, I think there are many reasons for the failure of the president's policies, not least of which is he has never seemed to think in strategic terms, plotting out long-term policy objectives and so on. But in the case of the coronavirus in particular, when word began to get to the United States, to the Centers for Disease Control and National Security Council and National Institutes of Health in very early January of this year, the president simply didn't want to hear bad things about Xi Jinping, bad things about what might be happening medically in China, what bad things might be happening to the Chinese economy, or anything that would interfere with what we now understand to be a kind of interim trade deal that was signed between China and the United States in January of this year, and mostly because the president didn't want to hear about potential bad news for the U.S. economy, which he saw as his ticket to reelection. So I won't go through them all here, but many news media have accumulated a list of statements by the president, cabinet members, senior advisors, January, February, March, April, all saying it's nothing, it's going to go away, it's going to magically disappear, we've got it under control, so on and so forth, which was a form of denial that fit into the president's long-term election prospects. And, you know, I think you've seen in the twists and turns in what the president has said about the coronavirus, what the administration has done, that lack of strategy, that lack of willingness to confront it and try and deal with it systematically.
The National Security Council's Pandemic Response Unit was dissolved, I believe, a month after you became National Security Advisor in 2018. Should that unit that's focused on global health and security and biodefense, should it be restored under the NSC?
Absolutely not. This really is a kind of bureaucratic myth. I mean, you'd have to be a bureaucrat to think that the boxes and lines of the NSC staff would have made a difference, particularly with Donald Trump in place. And what I did was, in trying to streamline the NSC staff, I put the office that dealt with pandemics together with the office that dealt with biological warfare. Because the epidemiology of a pandemic and the epidemiology of a biological weapons attack are often very similar. I think it strengthened our capacity to respond. And in fact, if you look at the New York Times massive report in April of this year, it says quite accurately that in early January, and of course, this is 3 months after I've left the White House. I'm not claiming any credit for myself here. I'm claiming credit for the staff of the NSC. Early January, NSC staff raised red flags about this. If you've read Bob Woodward's book, Rage, he talks about how my successor and the deputy national security advisor, Matt Pottinger, went to Trump in late January and said, this is the most pressing national security crisis of your presidency. The problem had nothing to do with where people were assigned within the NSC staff. The problem was the empty chair behind the Resolute desk in the Oval Office.
Talking with John Bolton, President Trump's former national security advisor. He's also an ambassador to the United Nations under George W. Bush. Taking your questions, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Tom in Burlington with a question. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Ambassador, when we pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal, I wish you'd explain that a little bit, and then explain how that ties in with this policy of the preemptive strike policy we have or don't have. We'll strike first, or if we think someone's going to strike us.
Well, the Iran nuclear deal was a very, very bad deal. It was not based on any understanding that Iran itself had made a strategic decision to give up nuclear weapons. In fact, all the evidence we have is that Iran intended the exact opposite, and that it continued developing centrifuge capabilities to be capable of enriching uranium at even more rapid rates that they already had. They've continued and had success with their ballistic missile program. And the benefits that Iran got from the return of tens of billions of dollars of frozen assets and relief from international sanctions allowed the Ayatollahs to consolidate their rule inside Iran and to spread terrorism and conventional military activity across the Middle East. So all across the board, this was a very bad deal for the United States, for the West, for our friends in the Middle East. And it's only permitted Iran to continue to pursue these objectives of deliverable nuclear weapons, enhanced terrorist activity, and malign conventional warfare in the Middle East as a whole. I'm not sure the exact relationship of your question on preemptive the preemptive doctrine, but this was something that we talked about in the Bush 43 administration, and I can summarize it sort of like this. If you think that a country is developing, let's say, nuclear weapons with an intention to use them against the United States or its friends, in this case, let's take Israel in the Middle East, I don't believe the United States is required to wait until Milwaukee has been destroyed by a nuclear weapon before it acts to defend itself. And it's only in very, very rare circumstances that you would use preemptive military force, but you would use it when the civilian population of the United States or friends and allies like Israel, Britain, Japan, Australia, around the world might come under threat.
Ambassador, staying in that part of the world, the U.S. will pull thousands of troops out of Iraq and Afghanistan by next month. President Trump is trying to make good on a campaign promise to get out of our endless wars. Is this troop withdrawal the right move?
No, I think they're both bad mistakes. I mean, look, we may not like being in these countries, but the fact is we remain under terrorist threat around the world. In many places, it's getting far worse. Certainly, it's spreading across Africa. It could come to this country very quickly. And the withdrawal from Afghanistan, I think, is going to lead to a return to power of the Taliban very quickly. And I fear very much that, again, Afghanistan will become a haven for international terrorism. You know, it is a mistake when the national leadership of our country doesn't explain to people that we are safer when we are deployed in forward positions like that to deal with threats before they threaten us here at home. The United States is a country with global interest and global friends and global adversaries. That's the nature of the success that our country's had economically and politically. But we keep our civilian population safer when we have these foreign deployments, and to withdraw them, I think, is going to put us at greater risk.
Is it possible to withdraw all 5,000 troops and dismantle the U.S. military headquarters in Afghanistan by the end of the year? Is that plausible?
I think that would be unrealistic, but this is Trump in political rhetoric mode. He's got 2 weeks left until the election. He's obviously very worried about his prospects. So, you know, he'll promise to withdraw troops from Afghanistan. He'll promise you checks for $1,200. He'll promise you vaccines. He'll promise almost anything at this stage.
Should the U.S. proceed with the process of withdrawing from the World Health Organization?
Well, I think that the World Health Organization could stand a substantial amount of reform, and I think one way that the United States has made its weight felt in the United Nations system before was by withdrawing from organizations or cutting off their funding. This was something, for example, that George H.W. Bush threatened in 1989, threatened the World Health Organization when its membership was considering making the Palestine Liberation Organization a member. George H.W. Bush, Jim Baker said at the time, if you do that, we will cut off all funding to the WHO, and that stopped it cold. So I think China's influence in the WHO, sadly, made WHO complicit in the Chinese cover-up of what happened with the coronavirus in its early days, to our great detriment.
Ambassador, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
John Bolton is a former national security advisor to President Trump. He was also an ambassador to the United Nations. Tomorrow evening, he'll speak with the Wisconsin Institute for Public Policy and Service. We have a link to that event at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.